Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we have posted links on our webpage, a few useful links to alternative information streams about the Iranian election, a Twitter search for posts about the election, also the Huffington Post's live blogging of the latest information, and the Tehran Live photo blog, all available through our WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show webpage. With so much media shut down there or restricted, we've found some alternative links to real-time information that we've put on our page, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. But our lines are full with Iranians, Iranian-Americans, others with direct contact with that country. We want to know what you're hearing from Iran with the internet shut down. And what do you think? Was the election free and fair, or was it stolen by Ahmadinejad? Dijon in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Thank you so much for calling. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much for taking my call. Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment. And from beginning, I thought this election was just a theater that the regime, you know, did to kind of keep people busy, to, you know, to kind of pretend that they have a real choice, like a real alternative. And, you know, Mousavi is one of their own people. He was one of the people who were involved with who was involved with the Islamic Republic establishment from beginning, and I think they just, you know, they do this once in a while to let people vent. You know, a few years ago they let Khatami to run as a, you know, as a
reform candidate. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and then after 8 years of fooling people, nothing happened. It went back to the same old story.
But Khatami won, right? Khatami had power for a while, or at least the presidency, didn't he?
Yeah, but what did he do? He didn't do anything. Yeah. I mean, nothing changed. Even if Mousavi would have been elected, it wouldn't mean anything.
Right.
I think the whole idea is to keep people busy so that they won't look for real alternatives.
So in your opinion, what about the new announcement by Khamenei, the supreme leader, and I wonder about any country that has a position called supreme leader, but he now says he'll investigate the fraud allegations after giving a ringing endorsement of the re-election of Ahmadinejad. Would that be a real investigation or a cover-up, in your opinion?
I don't think so, not whatsoever, because if this was going to be a, you know, real choice and real election, they would have let the real candidates to run. I mean, they choose these four people among all the people, you know, in Iranians. They choose these four, which is one worse than the other, and they tell people, you can vote to one of these four crooks. Now you choose which one, you know, you want to do. And then even that doesn't work, you know, properly. Even that, they don't even want to let that to, you know, to play its course.
Dijon, thank you very much for your call. We appreciate it. Fanam in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling us.
Hi, Brian. Thank you so much for taking my call. I just wanted to let you know I have been in contact, although very, very interrupted and often disconnected contact with Iran. And some people have said that the protests are not as widespread. I don't know if they're just saying that to relieve our worries. I will say that Mousavi, you know, as the caller before me mentioned, Mousavi was the prime minister before. I mean, this is there's a music video I saw of the election, and, you know, the choices are bugs and worms.
So you don't even consider him a real reformer?
I think if he was, he would have excited more people. I just feel that once Khatami left the race, many analysts thought that Ahmadinejad, you know, historically presidents since revolution have been reelected.
So do you think that the media reports of great enthusiasm for Mousavi over the final weeks before the election and now the way they're reflecting these big protests in the streets, do you think they're exaggerated in terms of the actual support that they reflect?
I think there was a lot of enthusiasm, just maybe blind, or you know, there was no other way,
wishful
and no
thinking.
Other choice. Yeah. And I think that you know, look, there was a rally for Ahmadinejad yesterday. for the victory rally. And
now I'm going to have to leave it there because your phone is breaking up. But interesting call, Fanon. Thank you very much. We have a couple open lines now after those callers have finished up. So more Iranians, Iranian-Americans, anyone else with contact with Iran, call and tell us what you're hearing from there with restrictions on news media sources trying to get the word out, and tell us what you're thinking about the election. What about that theory from our first two callers that there may have been over-exaggerated enthusiasm about Mousavi's actual support, and that even he is really an insider from the establishment and doesn't represent that much reform anyway? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Susan in Caldwell, you're on WNYC. Hi, Susan.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
Thank you for taking my call. I grew up in the States, but I'm 28 years old, and I've been to Iran several times. And I have my family is from Isfahan, and I know a lot of the reports are from Tehran. And I'm just calling because my family's over there, and they're telling me via Skype that the protests and demonstrations are such an extent even in Isfahan that they actually hope that it looks like if this continues for a week or a couple weeks that it may actually have an actual real effect and on the change of that something's going to actually change and overthrow like a real revolution over there. And I just wanted to make one comment too, because I understand the whole political how people are being selected for, you know, candidacy of presidency. I understand that, but it also goes twofold to America, because not everyone can, as much as there's freedom of election over here, the only way that someone's going to run for president is they have like a backup or that they have money. So it's also kind of selective here who has the ability to run for president. So it's just a different type of selectivity here as well.
Well, what would you like to see the United States do now? Anything? Apparently, the Obama administration is laying kind of low because they don't want to get out in front of the Iranian people in calling for Mousavi to be declared the winner of the election, because there would be an anti-U.S. backlash if they did that. Do you think that's the right approach, laying a little bit low like that? And is there any kind of support from the U.S. government that you think would be helpful?
I think that President Obama says some words to the fact of that we support, you know, freedom and something like subtle, but to just motivate the Mousavi supporters to just keep going. Like they have such a momentum that, you know, 10 years ago they tried to revolutionize in Iranian Zohijdat here, where there was this revolutions and the guards came and burned the universities and basically shut everyone down, and Khatami didn't say anything about it. And that's why the young people boycotted in 2005, and that's why Ahmadinejad came into power. This is what my cousins are telling me, and they showed me on YouTube. If you Google 18 TIR, and you'll see these photographs and these images, and that's why people boycotted, and that's why Ahmadinejad came into power. And if they just have some support from America, from Obama, from the world, which I think that they're getting, and as much as they're filtering on YouTube, there's so much video being uploaded on Facebook. There's filter. I'm getting, my cousins are over there, and my news feed on my Facebook from her is constant, constant, constant update. Mousavi's website is constant, constant, the news wire on my Facebook. So the word is getting out there. They just need that extra support, like subtle. They can say something subtle, like we support freedom and for your voices to be heard, and that'll give them that extra motivation. And Mousavi really needs to get out there and say something to support them rather than squash them.
Yeah, he's been kind of
a leader.
He's been kind of in hiding.
He's kind of in hiding. He's supposed to have a speak today.
Okay. So Susan, I'm going to leave it there and get some other voices on. Thank you so much for calling us. And Andrew in Brooklyn is not Iranian, but has a friend over there and has a story to tell. Right, Andrew?
Yeah, I do, actually. I have a good friend who's working for Mousavi over there, and she's a young woman, and she's been working for him for a long time. And some of the stories that she's been telling me have been very disturbing about the actual violence. Her sister came home the other day. She's actually been arrested already once the day of the election, and her father's, all of his friends have been arrested. She fortunately was released, but she's been telling me that the police have been rounding up people randomly, and that they've actually been one story she told me was that she saw someone push, the police push someone into the actual fires. And that the violence is actually a lot worse than we're being told about. It's very frightening, just from everything I'm hearing. And she's been, sometimes people get a hold of me, sometimes not, because they've been shutting off cell phones and shutting off the internet, and then sometimes she's blocked, sometimes she isn't blocked. I mean, I even tried to send her a link to what they're saying on the BBC. She couldn't read it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Maybe it's harder to get information incoming in Iran with the limits they're putting on the web than outgoing. As our previous caller was talking about, all the Facebook posts and live blogging and videos and stuff that are being uploaded elsewhere. So, Andrew, thank you very much. And, you know, this may be another one of those breakthrough cases with respect to social media doing a better job of reporting the story than professional media. There was even a lot of Twitter protest over the weekend against CNN for failing to cover it extensively. There was a little Twitter tag called CNN Fail that a lot of people were apparently contributing to. And that's why we've placed links on our website to some of the alternative sources. If you want to access them at WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. Feel free. I do like the TehranLive.org photo blog of pictures that are coming out of the demonstrations, among other things, and you can see some of the other sources as well. Suzanne in Maplewood, you're on WNYC. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi. My husband is Iranian, and we spoke to his family this weekend, and the violence is worse than it's being reported. My husband's nephew, who is 23, was out in the street, and his friend was killed. People are coming out in the streets, and anyone who watched in 79, everything that existed in 79 exists today. The youth are out in the streets. Their expectations are much higher. And the regime that's in control, I think, sees the writing on the wall. And regimes, when they feel that they're about to lose power, become their most vicious.
Yes. And when we talk about social networking, we should remember that the average age of the population in Iran is 25. That's much younger than the United States, for example. And so those people are, you know, as people in relatively sophisticated countries all over the world, using social media much more, getting words out on their own, inclined toward you know, some individual rights, among other things. But Suzanne, it sounds like it's a horrible situation, and some of the violence that's taking place is not being reported.
Well, what's also not being reported is people seem to think that the grand ayatollahs are a monolithic block and unified. They are not. There's a major rift of those who absolutely believe that the ayatollahs should have nothing to do with politics. Their realm is religious. Those ayatollahs were preparing to march on Tehran, and had they been under house arrest for years, they were getting ready to come and go into the city to support people. This religious rift is not being reported at all.
That's interesting.
And that is absolutely, I think, going to be a revolution in that country.
Well, we'll try to follow
up. The democracy movement is a lot older. This is not new. It's been going on, and the worst problem towards the democracy movement was President Bush.
So we should acknowledge, too, that there is a split almost like gets talked about in this country between people in urban areas and with college educations and the less educated people out in the rural areas. There may be a Democratic Party, Republican Party split like that in this country. And Ahmadinejad supporters, the people who really do like what he does and what he stands for, tend to be a lot of the less educated, more rural folks. And there are a lot of them still in Iran.
But I think people overreport that as well. You know, just because you don't have an education in the college sense doesn't mean that you can't see things, that you aren't smart. I think Ahmadinejad has lost a lot of support in the rural areas.
Well, Suzanne, maybe you're right. We will find out. I think that's she raises some fascinating questions, including whether this is at the level of the 1979 overthrow of the Shah. Is there that level of hatred and sense of being personally oppressed that so many people had with respect to the Shah? Do they have that now with Khamenei, the supreme leader, and Ahmadinejad, the president? I think that remains to be seen. And Gochali in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Good morning.
Hi, Brian. Good morning. Great program, and thanks for having it. I believe that the opposition, Mr. Mousavi himself, many people forget to mention this. He's a member of Guardian Council, and also he sits on expediency counsel. So with all this contact, he simply can't present if there is a solid proof in regards to fraud and bring it to the attention of people. And
in other words, you're saying because he's an insider, as some other callers criticized, then he has access to evidence, if there is evidence, that there was actual fraud in this election?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, how do you think they could prove it? I mean, even the, you know, the most vociferous anti-Iran regime commentators are saying this may be very difficult to prove if there was election fraud.
Well, if there is difficult proof, so there is no proof, Mr. Ryan. And if there is a proof that stands in court, they can mention this district, that district, that district. There was a fraudulent activity. In my opinion, basically, the opposition exaggerated their influence. And I believe one point that is fair to mention, there's only 1% of Iranian households, they have access to Internet. That by itself
yes.
is a comment, how many percent of Iranian really fund of Mousavi. But regardless, Brian, the whole, and also I'm amazed about the interest of the media into this election.
Sure. I mean, well, there is so much, you know, perceived relevance to Iran, between Iran and the United States. And there is, of course, you know, classic questions of democracy and religion and youth movements and all of these things that would captivate the media. Gochali, and all of you, thank you so much for calling in. Sometimes we do a better job of covering things by just letting people speak and write than by talking to the so-called experts, right? We still have the three links I mentioned before, plus two additional links now on our webpage. Twitter feeds within Iran is one of them, and a whole host of pictures from the Tehran riots. You can see it all at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show.